Track 13, Celebrity Spotlight. We now have the first of two musical features. Here's a piece I wrote about the wonderful singer Peggy Lee. Here is Sam to tell us of Miss Lee's life and work.
He's a tramp, fever, what don't you do right? Well, all songs made famous or written by Peggy Lee. Lee was called the Queen of American pop music, with over 1,100 recordings sung in that dreamy, sultry tone. She was also the writer of some 270 songs. And keep listening to find out where the famous Muppet character Miss Piggy comes into this story. She was born Norma Dolores Eggstrom in 1920 in faraway North Dakota to a Swedish and Norwegian-American couple, Selma and Marvin Olaf Eggstrom. When her mother died in 1924, her father remarried and the family moved throughout the state following the railroad her father worked for. When Norma was to break away and support herself through high school by singing at local radio stations for small amounts of money, until being spotted by radio personality Ken Kennedy, who gave her a 15-minute show weekly. He liked her voice, but not her name, and he said, "You look like a Peggy," and promptly changed her name to Peggy Lee. Not long after this exposure, at the age of 17, Peggy was off to Hollywood in California, and not the one near Scratchby above Great Yarmouth. And like so many wannabe stars, her first job was as a short order cook and waitress. And then she worked as a carnival barker, shouting out attractions and encouraging a crowd. Later that year, she got the job of MC at a nightclub called The Jade. But her employment was cut short when she fainted on stage due to overwork and an inadequate diet. And after she was taken to the Hollywood Presbyterian Medical Center, she was told she needed a tonsillectomy. So Lee returned to North Dakota for the operation. When Lee returned to California in 1940, she took a job singing at the Dollhouse in Palm Springs. Here, she developed her trademark sultry purr, having decided to compete with the noisy crowd with subtlety rather than volume. "I knew I couldn't sing over them, so I decided to sing under them. The more noise they made, the more softly I sang. Then they began to listen. As I sang, I kept thinking, softly, with feeling." While performing at the Buttery Room, a nightclub in the Ambassador Hotel West, she was noticed by band leader Benny Goodman. According to Lee, Benny's then fiancée, Lady Alice Duckworth, came into the Buttery and she was very impressed. And so the next evening she brought Benny in because they were looking for a replacement for Helen Forrest. And although I didn't know it, I was it. And he was looking at me strangely, I thought, but it was just his preoccupied way of looking. She joined his band in August 1941 and made her first recording singing Elmer's Tune. Lee stayed with the Benny Goodman Orchestra for 2 years, and in 1942, Lee had her first top 10 hit, Somebody Else Is Taking My Place, followed in 1943 by Why Don't You Do Right, which sold more than 1 million copies and made her famous.
You had a plenty of money, 1922. You let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. You're sitting down wondering what it's all about. You ain't got no money, they will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do?
sang with Goodman's Orchestra in two 1943 films, Stage Door Canteen and The Powers Girl. In March 1943, Lee married Dave Barber, a guitarist in Goodman's band. And Lee said, David joined Benny's band and there was a ruling that no one should fraternise with the girl singer. But I fell in love with David the first time I heard him play, and so I married him. And Benny then fired David, so I quit too. Benny and I made up, although David didn't play with him anymore. Benny stuck to his rule. I think that's not too bad a rule, but you can't help falling in love with somebody. She began writing songs in earnest with her husband, guitarist Dave Barber, and one of her first songs, What More Can a Woman Do, written in 1945, was soon recorded by another young singer named Sarah Vaughan. Sarah recorded this with some guys named Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. Peggy's first big songwriting hits in 1946 were I Don't Know Enough About You and It's a Good Day. And then in 1948, she wrote Mañana, which topped the charts for 9 weeks and was Capitol Records' biggest hit single by a singer-songwriter until the Beatles, and then it took four men.
The faucet, she is dripping and the fence, she's fallen down. My pocket needs some money so I can go into town. My brother isn't working and my sister doesn't care. The car, she needs a motor so I can go anywhere.
Mañana, mañana, mañana is soon enough for me.
My mother's always working, she's working very hard. But every time she looks for me, I'm sleeping in the yard. My mother thinks I'm lazy, and maybe she is right. I'll go to work mañana, but I gotta sleep tonight.
Mañana, mañana.
Well, a prolific composer with some 270 numbers to her name, many of her compositions have become standards, performed by singers such as Tony Bennett, Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole, Bing Crosby, Doris Day, Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland, Queen Latifah, Barry Manilow, Bette Midler, Nina Simone, Regina Spektor, Sarah Vaughan, and others. Fellow cabaret singer Bobby Short said, she was very persnickety about which jazz musicians played with her, and practically everything else that went into a show, particularly in one of her signature numbers, The Sultry Fever.
Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare give me fever. With his kisses, fever when he holds me tight. Fever! I'm his missus, Daddy, won't you treat him right? Now you've listened to my story, here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade, to give you fever. When you kiss them, fever, if you live, you learn. Fever!
She had spotlights here and spotlights there, but she had this notion that she wanted to start with a single pin light focused on her fingers snapping. And that's how the piece opened, recalled Short. And what a sensational effect. And nominated for Record of the Year and Best Vocal Performance, Female at the first Grammy Awards, Fever was to prove an everlasting hit. And in 1955, for the Disney movie Lady and the Tramp, she co-composed all of the original songs with big band leader Sonny Burke and supplied the singing and speaking voices of four characters. Well, here is Walt Disney himself to tell us how this came about.
But one day when the picture was well underway, Peggy and Sonny brought us a number that we hadn't expected. It was called He's a Tramp, and it painted our hero as quite a gay dog with the ladies. We liked the song, and fortunately it fitted into our plans. We had a sequence where Lady is brought to the dog pound, and discovers her boyfriend has quite a romantic past. So we decided to tell this through a song and created a new character to sing it, a canine torch singer. We called her Peg, and Peggy, of course, played the part for us.
What a dog! What a dog! He's a tramp, but they love him. Breaks a new heart every day. He's a tramp, they adore him, and I only hope he stays that way. He's a tramp, he's a scoundrel, he's a rounder, he's a cad. He's a tramp, but I love him. Yes, even I have got it pretty bad. You can never...
And indeed, she might have called Uncle Walt a bit of a name, as in 1987, when Lady and the Tramp was released on VHS, Lee sought performance and song royalties on the video sales. After a prolonged legal battle, in 1992, Lee was awarded $2.3 million for breach of contract. Now that's not bad for work completed in 1955. Well, I wonder if she thought they were all cowboys. Which brings us to the film Johnny Guitar.
I was always a fool for my Johnny. For the one they call Johnny Guitar. Johnny Guitar, what if you go, what if you stay?
Now this was a most unusual western made by Nicholas Ray and starring Joan Crawford as Vienna and Sterling Hayden as Johnny, with his guitar. She is credited as being one of the first old guard to recognise the new music movement, rock and roll. She recorded songs by contemporary artists such as the Beatles, Randy Newman, Carole King and James Taylor, and nominated for 13 Grammy Awards. It was in 1969 that her hit Is That All There Is won her the Grammy for Best Contemporary Vocal Performance.
Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
Well, is that all there is? Well, there's a lot of honours and awards, and amongst them being named in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Famous conductor and composer Andre Previn said, "For the singing of popular songs, Peggy Lee was about as good as you can get, with the exception of Billie Holiday. And when she did some of those unbelievably slow ballads, she would still swing like a house of fire. Her sense of rhythm was unbeatable, sensational. And when she sang a song of unrequited love, she really got to you." Tony Bennett said, "Peggy Lee was the female Frank Sinatra. She was the epitome of popular jazz singing and a wonderful songwriter as well." Fame brings all manner of accolades. And it is no coincidence that the iconic Peggy Lee should inspire another icon of sorts. Well, who remembers The Muppet Show? Well, Muppet designer Bonnie Erickson explains the inspiration behind the world-famous Miss Piggy. "My mother used to live in North Dakota, where Peggy Lee sang on the local radio station before she became a famous jazz singer. When I first created Miss Piggy, I called her Miss Piggy Lee, as both a joke and an homage. Well, Peggy Lee was a very independent woman, and Piggy certainly is the same. But as Piggy's fame began to grow, well, nobody wanted to upset Peggy Lee, especially because we all admired her work. And so the Muppet's name was shortened to Miss Piggy. Peggy Lee died in January 2002 and had continued to perform well into the 1990s. At the Carnegie Hall in New York City in 1995, a reviewer described her performance. One didn't know quite what to make of the lush, creamy, pink apparition that was gently steered to a comfy chair on the Carnegie Hall stage Saturday night. It seemed so fragile that one was almost afraid that the thunderous applause greeting its appearance would shatter it into a million crystalline pieces. And then, from deep inside this vision, came a taut, tender voice that seems to have been with us forever, singing "That Old Feeling." It wasn't a dream. It was Peggy Lee.
Once again, I seem to feel that old yearning, and I knew the spark of love was still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start when that old, old feeling is still in my heart.
Thank you, Sam. Fancy that fact about the Muppets as Miss Piggy. I'm not sure I'd be flattered by it. What about you?